Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and Steve. Welcome to the extra hour. If you missed the first hour, you would be shocked. You would be shocked in the context of, what took place at the Unstoppable. Sad to say we didn't see the movie. I think we're going to get the DVD. I don't think I'm going to darken the doors of the dark place that is going on in their corralling, you know, whatever that was. But it definitely was some insight of what the Lord has shown us. But we're going to continue our conversation about, hopefully we're going to get to Zelensky, and it's like the world's being organized. It's a conversation that we're going to have over a period of time. So stay with us. So stay with us in the context of that, and realize you can hear this. You can even see us, of course, on WHBR Channel 33 on the Gulf Coast between Mississippi and Destin, Florida. Approximately 1.4 million of potential viewing audience. If you guys are there, of course, you can look on your at whbr.org to find out the listing for the cable listings in your area. Channel 33 is the broadcast channel, and a lot of different channels for the cable channels. But I just, you know, I wanted Steve to be able to join us in the extra hour before we move on to talking about how things are being organized. And we're going to talk very specifically about one of the you know, that our president was a community organizer. I was a community organizer. I was part of the Pacific Institute of Community Organizing out of California. I have some insight. God has brought me back to the community that I organized, and he's speaking to me about it. We're seeing the world. We're going to talk about this, some of the principles of organization, how that systems kind of work. And even Sal Alinsky's book, Rules of Radicals, and how it seems to be like a playbook of what's going on. Not just America is not the only place being organized, but the world's being organized. The world is being organized. And it looks like, oh my goodness, you know, even down to Gog and Magog's going on at the same time. So we're going to talk about all that and kind of get, you know, what's a biblical perspective? Because, you know, the world's going to do what the world does. We're not supposed to, you know, control the world. It doesn't matter. His kingdoms come, kingdoms go, but God's kingdom is forever. But we need to operate in the kingdom's principles. So like I said, in the first hour, we're going to be talking about that and about how the very first time in years, our president now is in conversation with the president of Iran, and how the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, is talking about called the Charm Initiative. Mm-hmm. That they're basically lying initiative of Iran that's going on. But how, in the midst of all this, you have to understand, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. And we're seeing the kingdom of God manifest. We're seeing the presence of God, fresh revelation from God about what he's saying now and what to do and how to respond to these vast situations and how to be blessed and how to be light and how the glory of God that literally... The miracles and the healing and the power and the deliverance and all the things God's called us is these signs will follow those that believe. Why are you keep following signs? How come signs aren't following you? At some point, you got to ask the question, you know, either God is God or he's not, and he is. Either God can or he can't, and he can. Either I'm a Christian, a Christ follower, or I'm not. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not, I can be, because these signs are supposed to follow those that believe, because God is with me. Speaking of that, Steve, tell us what's going on. I know that we're just seeing the glory of God manifest. Tell us what's happening.
I was just at work recently, and work at the airport, and there was a gentleman that came up to my counter, and I didn't even realize it at first, but we just started talking. I noticed that there was a strap over his shoulder, and as we were talking, I kind of looked over.
Where do you work at?
I work at the airport.
Airport.
Yeah,
okay.
Lots of people, always. Many encounters.
And this guy's walking in with a strap over his shoulder.
Right, and I was just making eye contact, really wasn't paying attention, but during the conversation, like I said, I looked down, and I noticed that his arm was in a sling. So during the conversation, I said, oh my goodness. I said, what did you do to your arm?
Right.
And he said, I did it playing football. I said, well, what specifically happened? He said, I tore my rotator cuff.
Wow. And I was like, those are major things. Cause I know
that's
that,
major.
Yeah, Pat, you know, God healed him from, he couldn't even click a mouse.
Yeah. <that's true. laughs> And I didn't know exactly what that was, but I was like, that just sounds painful. And
it is.
Anytime you tear anything in your body, and I'm like, ooh, that's not good. Fine. And it's like immediately, God just reminded me, it's like, that's exactly what God healed in my roommate's shoulder.
Oh,
He had dislocated his shoulder, and God healed his shoulder completely.
What happened in the context of that?
Well, he had was playing basketball, went to catch a ball, and dislocated his shoulder, and his shoulder was down where his tricep was, completely dislocated.
Ooh.
And when he came home, I heard about it. 3 days later, I saw him. God just told me to pray for him, began praying for him, and God just healed it, and he was able to move it, took his arm out of the sling.
Our God heals.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
So my roommate, Rudy, he was concerned that the doctors would say that he had to have corrective surgery because he had previously dislocated his shoulder before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lord, I just believe you right now that you would strengthen Rudy's shoulder, that he would not need corrective surgery, and that the doctors would look at his charts and not be able to find any sign of a previous dislocated shoulder.
Hmm.
3 days later, I saw Rudy, and he's like, dude, I just got back from the doctors. And he was so excited. I said, what did they say? And he says, exactly what you prayed for. They said they could not find any sign of a previous dislocated shoulder.
Oh, that is awesome.
Like, that's God.
The glory. What is that? Glory of God. Woo. Awesome.
And he was just like, as soon as he said
this
that.
This is the God that we serve.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, I couldn't just wait to come home and tell you this. So this whole thing, I'm telling Brian at the airport.
No, that's the guy's name that had the sling?
Yes.
Okay.
Who tore his rotator cuff. I'm telling him that God just healed my roommate's shoulder a week ago.
Wow.
And then I was telling him that there was a guy I had just met at the same airport, at the same counter, who had just rolled his ankle, could barely walk, limping.
Yeah.
Prayed for him, and God touched him and healed his ankle immediately.
And started jumping all around.
Yes, and he was like,
he even thought you touched his leg. Yeah. Like, that was God. Like,
What'd you do? And I'm like, this is the glory of God.
Yeah. And he jumped around. Like, jumped on
he
it.
He was jumping up around.
Do something you couldn't do. Yeah. Do something you couldn't do.
He was running up and down the stairs, and I'm like, it's God.
Yeah.
So I'm telling Brian this, and I said, Brian, I said, can I pray for you, man? He's like, yeah, man, I can always use prayer. So I was like, all right.
So this is Brian at the airport.
At the airport with a torn rotator cuff. So he moves his arm real gently. And so I just start praying for him, and I just speak.
Oh, he's being real careful with it.
He's being real delicate. And praying, just gently lay my hands on his shoulders, and I just speak over his tendons and ligaments, and I just say, whatever was torn, God, I ask that you would just bring it back, just a creative miracle, that you would do a mighty work. And I was like, all right, we'll just move in faith, man. Do what you couldn't do. And he does the same thing, just starts moving his shoulder. And just starts moving his shoulder, and he looks at me. He's like, "Dude," I go, "Is God moving? Is God moving?" And then I could see him starting to move it real, real delicately, like real ginger. Like, is it gonna hurt? And I said, "Where does it hurt, man? Where does it hurt?" So he points, and I said, "What does it feel like?" He's like, "It's kind of like just like a shooting pain." I was like, "Well, I just come against the shooting pain that there'd be no pain from your shoulder to your elbow to your fingertips." And I was like, "All right, move it around." And he's just wide eyed. He looks at me. He's like, "Oh my goodness!" And I was like, "Move her on." So he starts moving his arm like a windmill.
Oh, a windmill! Oh, rotator cuff.
Down to up.
Oh my goodness!
And then I was like, "Brian, I'm like, could you do that before?" He's like, "No." I was like, "Do what you couldn't do before." So he moves it gently, and I was like, "All right, is it healed?" And he moves his hand straight up.
Yeah.
Oh, straight up. My goodness.
Just days after tearing a rotator cuff.
The glory
it's
of God.
It's God.
Woo! I'm telling, this is the God that we serve.
Amen.
And he's like, if you have a torn rotator cuff out there right now, you know that you don't spin your arm around like a windmill.
Mm.
But if you're healed, that you do. And I just speak it right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing over your rotator cuffs. And even joints out there. Maybe you have a knee. Maybe you have an elbow, maybe you have a shoulder, maybe you have a vertebrae. I just speak it now, claim it. Just claim your healing right now. This is the God that we serve.
Mm.
Listen, he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. This sickness is not from him.
Amen.
He loves you and wants to heal you, just like he healed Brian, just like he healed Rudy, just like he healed Jalen. Our God heals. in Jesus' name. Isn't that cool? That's just awesome. The glory of God, the manifestation. That's what happens when God heals you. Let us know. Go to VFNTV.com and contact us. You can contact us there. But understand this, that's the manifestation of the presence and the glory of God. That's God just loving on you. And guess what? You can move into his glory, and his glory can move into you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. What does that mean? That you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Yeah, you just experienced him on the outside, and he touched your body and put it back into its place again, but he wants to be the Lord of your life. The same awesomeness that just healed your body wants to move into your heart. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Say, Lord, I want to walk with you all the time. I want this glory inside of me. Christ, Jesus, I love you. Forgive me. I want you to be my Savior. If you've done that, let us know. Go to VFNTV.com and contact us. But I hear there's even more. Tell us what's going on. What's happening?
Well, Barbara and I, we were actually just responding. God had said, you know, shine your light in the darkness.
So this is a believer, you and Barbara.
Yes. Go into the darkness and boldly declare my truth, my love, my light. So we did that exactly. And we went to a local city in the area, Brownsville. And we're walking. And we had seen a couple people on a front porch. And Barbara had noticed them at first. And there was two gentlemen and two young ladies on the front porch. And they were so receptive.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have to say this. You can actually go to the VFN Torch and you can see the video of Brian.
Yes.
Who was healed in the airport with a sling around his shoulder and see him exactly what he's telling you and him lifting his arm all the way up, totally healed. I just want to make sure at the VFN Torch, you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and you can see the video of him lifting his arm up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's God. So we're right in front of this front porch, and there's two young ladies and two gentlemen, and they're just so receptive. And they're like, hey, what are y'all doing? And we're like, oh, we're just walking down the street in the neighborhood, just praying for people. And this young lady's name was Betty. And she was like, oh, my goodness, please pray for my family. So we're like, okay. But I wanted to just share and raise her faith and just what is God doing? And what I just share with you, that's what I just share with Betty. And immediately her faith was lifted and her prayer went from pray for my family. And she said, I had a stroke 4 years ago and it debilitated the whole right side of my body.
Wow.
She says, when I walk, my right leg drags. And she had to completely reteach herself how to write with her left hand because she couldn't use her right hand. So I was like, okay, well, we're going to believe in faith. And I put my hands on her knee and her hand, and Barbara got behind her and her hands were on her shoulder. And so we just started believing in faith. We just came against that stroke. We came against everything that would hinder her movements. And we just believed in faith for complete healing. And she says, well, I want to run for Jesus. And I was like, all right, yeah, we received that. And we're like, well come on.
This lady that had a stroke, was paralyzed on her side of her body. She says, I want to run for Jesus.
She says, I want to run for
Jesus. Didn't God speak to you and remind you of something at that point? What did he remind you of? He reminded you of John when John was healed.
Yes.
God will do this. God will remind you of something that he did that will build your faith, and you got to speak it out of that moment. And what did he instantly remind you of?
As soon as she stood up, God reminded me that John, when he was walking on the beach, he had done something to his lower back. He could barely get up, and he was trying to walk, and it was just a painful every step. And God just said, John, run. And he just responded in faith, took off running, and the pain was instantly gone. And he is just a dead sprint with no pain.
Went from I can't walk to a run.
Right. Just in response to the word of God.
And God's glory moved in his life and healed him. Amen. And so instantly God reminded you, so glory produces glory.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, then you begin to speak out in faith what God just showed you, right?
Yep.
Because she says, I want to run, right? Yep. Then what did you do?
And I responded, and I said that to Betty as we're gingerly carrying her, not carrying her, but we're guiding her down the steps, and we got her to her driveway. And all this time, we're just speaking faith scriptures and healing scriptures and what did Jesus do? And she's like, I want to move. And I was like, all right, well, we're speaking over her joints. She's walking up and down her driveway. If you imagine calisthenics and athletics, imagine high knees, moving your knee as high as your hip. That's what she was doing.
You're talking about a lady that was paralyzed. She couldn't move her leg.
Yes.
And it's she's moving it. She's healed.
Yes.
The glory of God.
Wow. She could not.
Oh, my goodness.
She could not walk without dragging her right foot. And now she's moving it. Yeah. High knees, stepping up and down. And as we're just declaring these scriptures, she stops and she says, wait a minute. What scripture is that? She goes, you got a pen? I was like, no.
It was John chapter 15.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, no, I don't have a pen. She's like, well, I got one in my car, and she just like beelines it right to
her
car.
Wait a minute now, does beeline mean she's actually driving a car to her car? Or is she actually on her feet?
She is on her feet.
Is she dragging the leg?
No,
she's walking.
That was the awesome thing.
She's healed.
She's healed, and I was like, Barbara, look, and she just walks straight to her car, not even paying attention. I'm like, Betty, you just walked to your car. Like, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And she writes down the scripture, and we just continued speaking over her. And it was amazing because it was God.
That's right. It's glory of God. It's glory of God. And I want to tell you right now, listen, this is the God that we serve. That's why the enemy's working so hard to get his name off of everything. That's why the in God we trust is on the edge of the money, the coins in America. That's why you have the people trying to push Israel into the sea. They're trying to... Satan can't fight against the power and the glory of God.
Amen.
Listen, stop being religious and start being relational. Stop just whatever you're talking about and start talking about God. Don't just read the book of Acts. It's an operations manual. This is how we're supposed to be. Listen, the Lord, when the Lord turned water into wine, he said this is the first time that he revealed his glory. What does that mean? Every answered prayer is the glory of God. Quit going, well, God answered my prayer. That's the glory of God, man. That's why we stand in heaven. And when we surround him as he takes the title deed to earth with the seven seals on it, as the Father hands him the title deed to earth, the entire universe stands around him and says, worthy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, because he's the one answering your prayers. Tell somebody he gave you that money. Tell somebody he gave you that car. Hey, how about honoring him with his tithes and offerings again? How about getting hit the streets? And listen, he's called us. This is what he says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rise upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and the glory of the Lord is over you, and nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Listen, it's time, just like Steve did and Barbara did, to begin to walk and quit yelling at darkness. That looks so foolish. Listen, start being light in the midst of it. Listen, Betty experienced the glory of God. Brian experienced the glory of God. Rudy experienced the glory of God. Jalen experienced the glory of God. What are you experiencing? It's time. Listen, God will step over a million people, John G. Lake said. Over a million people to get to one person that believes him. What happened with John G. Lake? Healing houses around the world. And today the remnants of his faith is so strong that there's people today that are still walking out the fading parts of his ministry. The anointing was so strong. Why? Because he believed God. Listen, forget bungee jumping. Forget jumping off bridges on little rubber bands. Forget jumping out of planes. Listen, follow God. It's an adventure of your lifetime. There's nothing like watching people like Brian or Betty or people that are in darkness. We could name them for days. They get free. They get happy. They get set free. And God heals them and delivers them and sets them free. Listen, we are called as a spiritual army, not a physical army, but a spiritual army to go out and begin to bring the light. As a matter of fact, speaking of that, you know, that's what God's putting together. That's what God spoke to us through us, but also spoke through Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries when he had the vision about the call, I believe it was, and the three armies. Mm-hmm. And that last army is beginning to formulate and come together. Mm-hmm. But speaking of that, and I know, I want you to tell us, as you're out there, you're ministering in this place, and aren't children just an element?
Precious. Absolutely.
You remember
precious.
When the disciples were with Jesus, that they've been with him the longest, you know?
Right.
And all of a sudden, the little children start running to him, and you imagine now people pushing them away. Remember what he said?
Yeah.
He said, suffer not the little children. He said, don't be messing with them. Yeah. You got to become like them.
Right. Yep.
Like these children. And how awesome is that with these children?
They're just hungry. They're just love.
He said you can't even enter the kingdom of God, which is, by the way, salvation, unless you become like one of these children. What happened with the kids? What happened with us?
Well, a couple of doors. This is just moments after spending time with Betty. So we continued to walking down the street, and Barbara looks over to her right, and there were two ladies and seven children on a patio. Mm-hmm. And they all just looked right at us. started waving, and they're like, "Hey, hey!" So we just was, there was just, people were just hungry. Just
Isaiah chapter 60, they saw the light, man. They saw the light. Come on, we want the light. We want the light. We want the light.
So we walked right over to them. They all got right off the porch, came right into their front lawn.
The children?
Oh, everybody. The two ladies, the children. Mm-hmm. And they said, "What are you guys doing?" And we just said the exact same thing. We're just walking through the city, asking if people need prayer, praying for people. And this little precious girl, she's probably maybe 9, 10 years old. And she says, "Well, I'll pray for you." And we're like, "Okay." She's like, "Well, gather on." And this isn't like a 10-year-old. So she starts praying and she just says,
everybody
God,
held hands.
Everybody held hands. And she says, "God, I just thank you for these people that they would come to my house. Lord, we thank you that we just ask that you would keep them safe. Amen." And I was like, "Oh my goodness."
Beautiful. So these children, and we can actually see these. You guys are going to be able to see these children on VFN. On the VFN torch, go to VFNTV.com. Things we're talking about, you're going to be able to see there. Yes. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch and you see.
Yes. So these children all started coming towards us even closer and they all started singing.
Oh, beautiful.
And I was, and like,
so the children are singing. The ones that Jesus said, you got to be like these children to enter in the kingdom of God.
And they range from like anywhere from like 5 years old to 10 years old. So these are little children.
Wow.
And now the lyrics that these kids were singing, nobody said these things. The conversation was not about this topic. And as they were singing, I'm like, "Where's my phone? Where's my phone?" I'm trying to get this on camera. And finally, I get it on camera, and I record them. And the lyrics, the words that they all say, and they're in all in unison, and they say, "God is raising up an army. He's going to break every chain. He's going to break every chain."
Oh, wow.
And I looked at Barbara, and I was just like, "This is God! This is God!" And these children were just so hungry and so innocent and just like, "This is God." Mm. Powerful.
Isaiah chapter 61, the number of references go to break. Isaiah 61, verse 1, this is a little late in my heart, before you spoke and these kids confirmed, he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom from the prisoner, freedom for the captive, and to release from darkness those who are held in prison, and to proclaim the year of the favor of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for all those who grieve in Zion." Listen. It's time to arise. Shine, church. You are the answer to darkness. Stop yelling at it and start being the light.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's an old song that goes, "I did it my way. I faced it all and stood tall, and I did it my way." This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and while I won't be singing for you today, here's licensed clinical psychologist and mom of four, Debbie Cherry, who has some advice for moms who take those lyrics to heart.
It is mainly that we care so much we want to see it done. That we are passionate and driven and just have this idea that feeding our kids this meal and giving them a bath on this night and doing everything this way is going to make them the best adults someday that they can be. We really do believe that. There is also a component of that, though, that we have to be honest with ourselves and say that there is some pride tied to that. An idea that says, "My way is the right way," and that's just prideful, and that's wrong. My way is not the only way or the right way all the time.
Hear more today from Debbie Cherry about relationships at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
But a conversation, you'll be surprised. You have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up in his head. He goes, "That's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think." They're the ones who go, "Shh, I'm thinking."
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant. And it's a shocker, you know. See, right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge. It's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever. And just listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat. We just had a wonderful discussion and sharing about what the manifestation of the glory of God. And if you missed it, you've got to be able to go to the VFN Torch or go to your app or go to WHBR or wherever you're watching, listening, viewing, or whatever. And you got to understand this is God. Watch the videos, how God's healing people. And it's time. It's amazing that the church, we don't realize that we're actually the answer to darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to come out of darkness to actually help people that are in darkness.
Hello.
You know, what does one person in darkness say to another person in darkness? You do that too.
I can't see.
Yeah, and it's like, we're called to be the light.
All right.
You know, Jesus gave us light. We're going to be talking more about that. You know, you're going to have that available for you at vfntv.com. And I want to encourage you, if you have not yet signed up for the Torch, you can do it by texting 22828, 22828, text VFNTV.
Oh, yeah.
V Victor, VFN TV, by the way. VFN TV to the number 22828. That's 22828. And get signed up so you can be in touch with all the things that are going on. And we want to hear your glory stories. You know, let us know. Send us a video. What's happening? What's God doing in your communities around the world and around the nation? And we really believe, and we've already, God laid on our heart, that we're just, see that we're going to be a part of helping orchestrate of, you know, I was walking to the grocery store and I saw you know, Susan. And Susan was pushing a car, but she was limping with her left leg. Well, I was walking through the airport, and I saw Brian, and Brian had a torn right titer cuff, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you find out, God healed Brian. And you're going to see, go to the Vivian Torch, you can see Brian when he's asked the question, what happened to you? And he goes, Jesus, heal me. Mm-hmm. And it's just powerful. And that then you, all of a sudden, you get faith, and then God's going to move in your life, and you let us know. And then we say, wow, well, Brian connected to Susan, Susan connected to Jim. And next thing you know, there's a big, huge whirlwind of the glory of God. And next thing you know, the glory of God fills the earth. I mean, think about that. Just powerful glory zones, glory zones, portholes into heaven where God's pouring out a blessing upon cities, you know, upon communities, upon those who are going after him, bringing the light, a city again on a hill, shining. And it's just exciting. So if you missed it, catch it. Be a part of what God is doing today. If you are not connected, by the way, if you're not connected to a gathering of believers who take God's word literally and understand his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, but say, hey, it's us that God is sending into the world to be able to transform the world by his light in us. And I want to be a part of that. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network, the VFN Dream Center is for you. Listen, join the dream. Listen, join the dream. Join the vision. Join the dream. Join being a part of the answer to this vast darkness that is covering the earth and this thick darkness that's covering people. It's time to be the light. Maybe you're called to be a part either virtually by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org or coming, if you're in a region of the Gulf Coast, come into the physical location on the Gulf Coast at the VFN Dream Center. Just go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org, and find out our meeting times and services. Broadcasted live every Sunday, right straight from the Dream Center. And this Sunday was just power packed. Mm-hmm. And then it plays again, and that's around, I don't know, Central Time.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock Central Time, and around, no, well, live is
10:30.
10:30 Central Time a.m., and then it plays again at 3. And that's the only time you get that. So that's not going to happen again, the context of that. And so you want to get them. You get anywhere you're at. You're not have to be stuck in front of a TV. You guys, you can listen to it anywhere you are. And it's just exciting what God is doing in the earth. Come be a part of the dream. VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Well, here we are. I know I said we're going to be talking about, you know, the earth is being organized. And obviously, you know, we don't have a lot of time to cover it. But I want to begin the conversation now. And I'm talking about there's a rebellion being organized. There's a rebellion being organized, and much of the church is just in darkness. They're just blind. They're just like I talked about in the first hour, just got a big bucket of popcorn in one hand and a big drink in the other, Coke in the other, and just kind of, where's the entertainment at?
Right.
You know, just entertain me. I can't talk anymore about that. Anyway, remember the guy that stood up? Well, you didn't see the guy that stood up. This is the devil coming against this movie playing. It's like, it's the devil everywhere, bro. Let's go. Anyway, so so you know, being a community organizer, you think about you know, in regards to organizing, it's about organizing people. It's about organizing people. And I was watching an interview. I was watching an interview with David Moyer on PBS when Marshall Gantz was being interviewed, and our current president, when you think about, if you could pull up yes we can there, and I want you to hear this, because I'm going to begin to talk about a story, and it's not a political story, it's about where we're going and what's being led. Remember, our president is a community organizer, or was a community organizer. He's a leader now of America, so he obviously needs to organize us. You know, that's what leaders supposed to do. And I was a community organizer connected with the Pacific Institute of Community Organizing. And I kind of know how that kind of stuff works to some levels. And to hear some of these leaders who in the field of community organizing, one of them was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who organized for a very godly, constitutionally sound, biblically correct movement. I mean, it was just that is the model, by the way. Dr. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Jr. is the model for all of us to live our life the way he did.
That's right.
And how publicly he did what he did. And we talk about it all the time, and you could find out about it on the VFN Torch. But, and so I'm listening to Bill Moyer interview on PBS, Marshall Gantz. And Marshall Gantz is a longtime organizer, and he's done some historically some great things in regards to it. And but I didn't know it until I was watching the interview that he was actually part of organizing the president's campaign and all that.
Right.
And so, but he's an organizer, so I mean, you know, I'm saying it's sort of like saying, yeah, I can't believe that you played for the Saints and you had Saints helping you out. I mean, that's normal. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's who you want, somebody who can organize and get some things together. But the what is the thought life of an organizer, and where did Yes We Can come from? Because that was a big turning point in what
that's
took
huge.
Place. And it was encouraging to hear the words, because everybody's saying no, it won't work or whatever. Yeah. And I love to hear people go, you know, we can take the land.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we can do this.
We can do this. Yes, we can. And that's a powerful thing. It just turned a nation. We begin to say that. But listen, this is, you know, Bill Moyer is asking him the question, you know, where did this come from? And he's talking about it came from, and he's going to speak in Spanish about the same statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started. It started with the farm workers when they were being organized. But listen up, and I want you to hear this, because we're talking about beginning a conversation, beginning to understand what's happening, seeking God's perspective, and then how do we as the church, as Christians who follow Jesus Christ, how should we respond to what's going on? Listen for a moment. This is Bill Moyer on Bill Moyer Today, I believe it is, on PBS, interviewing Marshall Gantz about where did Yes We Can come from?
True that the slogan for Cesar Chavez and his farm workers was, "Si se puede."
Si se puede, yeah.
Which translated literally into Obama's
Yes We Can. Oh, you betcha.
Is that right?
Well, Si Se Puede came in Arizona, 1972. Arizona had a governor, Jack Williams, that passed a law that denied farm workers the right to organize, boycott, strike. I mean, it was a terrible law. And so we had to figure out, were we going to challenge it or not? And so we all went to Arizona to challenge it. We got there and been out talking to people. And Dolores Huerta actually came back. We were meeting in a motel room. She said, "I've been talking to all these everywhere, and everywhere I go, people say, no se puede, no se puede, no se puede." She means, "Oh, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know, it's just, you know, and we gotta answer that. We gotta say, si se puede." And so that became the slogan of that campaign, was si se puede, yes, it can be done. And that then became a farm worker movement slogan, si se puede. So in New Hampshire, when Obama lost that night, and there were a lot of that talk going on around,
generations of Americans have responded with a simple creed that sums up the spirit of a people.
Then he comes out, yes we can. Well, that's Si Se Puede.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
That was a great moment. That was what sort of raised such hopes about his presidency.
Did people count too much on his charisma and didn't assess his...
And that's so important, because what we're finding out, I just wanted to have a conversation here. And so understand, I was a community organizer. The president was a community organizer. Marshall Gantz, community organizer. And I mean, just listening to Marshall talk is just, it's like honey, you know, I mean, just so brilliant in his ability to speak. I think he's a graduate of Harvard, I think. It makes such good sense. And the church has got to begin to start making really good sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give a narrative here. Help me see myself in the context of what you're talking about. And that's what they're really good. A community organizer is good at kind of getting the context and helping people see themselves in the context of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing that the Farm Workers Union, which was, they were being treated unjustly, unjust laws, and so they began to organize. And so it was all over. You know how that is. You know, people just love to encourage you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, by the way, you're going to die,
right,
and it's not
going
to work, and you're going to broke." And it's like, "Oh, thank you, Judas."
The tent's blowing away.
Yeah, the tent's blowing away. And so, I mean, there's nothing more powerful than, because that's what they're hearing in Spanish, where they're hearing, like, "It's not going to work. No, we can't. It's what they're hearing over again in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, she says, "We just got to start saying, yes, we can." And they just started speaking it out. And so all of a sudden, the rallies during the farm workers movement, they began to say, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can." And they organized, and the law was struck down, and they were able to take down an unjust law. And like Dr. King says, an unjust law is not a law at all,
mm-hmm.
because the Constitution is about justice for all, right? Right. And so, therefore, it's an unjust law is a violation of our very Constitution.
That's right.
And so, that's just beautiful. It was in the context of the fishbowl, in the context of the Constitution, there was an unjust law going on. And I want you to pull up, you know, a movement building so that we understand this. And so when you're organizing, because what I'm talking to you about, this is what I see in my spirit. And all I can do is tell you what God's showing me. That I'm seeing the earth organized. I'm seeing not just America. Listen, we're only 5% of the world's population. And you can see this interview in its entirety on the VFN Torch. It'll be there because I have another segment from Bill Moyer here with Marshall Gantz, and go watch, you know, Bill Moyer's. He's got a lot of programs in this area. But, you know, what is movement building? You know, what really happens in the context of that? And this is where you're going to hear me begin to talk about Saul Alinsky in regards to, because it looks like that is the operating man. It's paralleling everything that's going on. So, you know, somebody says, well, that means they're using that as their guideline. No, it just could mean they're hearing from the same dark place that other people are hearing from. You know, you can never know each other, never read the same books, but if you follow the same darkness, if you follow, you know, whoever, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's how things can orchestrate, because they're following the same follower. And so you're looking at, and we're going to talk about this, and he's going to talk about the polarization. And that's what the radical rules that Alinsky's book is about, and we're going to talk about it, but how to organize. So when we get back from this break, you're going to hear about, you know, movement building. What is movement building? And I think we're seeing like a prototype. It's happening right in front of our very eyes. And the conversation you're hearing from others, you're going like, it's not working. It's like, oh, it is like a scientific case for the best way to organize. And we'll find out more about that at the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, I don't shop. I don't shop. I'm blessed enough to have a wife.
I've seen you shop.
Yeah, you're right. It's amazing.
Go with a list.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. But I, you know, went to go. We got this wonderful pollen blowing around right now. Trees are going like, yes, no, no, yes, no, no, yes. Yeah, they don't even know what to do, you know. And so I'm having this congestion. So I stopped by a CVS drugstore to be able to buy something, Mucinex, like this kind of thing that's a decongestant and that kind of thing. And I thought, I'm just going to run in there and get some decongestant, like sinus medicine, I guess you would call it. And so I go down this drug. I think a lot of drugs all the way down. You can from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. They got a lotion, a pill, or something for it. And, but when I got to this particular, medicine, it just was a piece of cardboard. It was a piece of cardboard. They don't even put the medicine on the shelf. I'm like, what? You know, so I had to read the cardboards.
Oh, gosh.
And then I took the piece of cardboard and I had to read, where do you go with this piece of cardboard? And you don't go to the cashier. You have to go back to the drug counter.
Oh, pharmacist.
It's a pharmacist in the back. And I go back and I said, do you have any of these? And they're like, looking like,
why do you want this?
Yeah, why, you know, kind of watching my eye gate, you know, that kind of thing, and looking. I'm like, I got congestion. I got congestion. And he looks at me, he says, we don't have the 12, we have the 24. I'm like, Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it was just like I was doing, you know, coming from my law enforcement days. I felt like I was undercover, you know?
Yeah, right.
And finally he pulls it out and he says, you know, charges me $1 million for it. And and you look down this little credit card thing that you use a credit or a check card or whatever for. And it says, you have to read this statement. And I had to read a legal statement from the law that said that I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to go to jail. I'm like, I'm getting nervous. I don't know if I should get this Mucinex or not. What have we gotten into? I'm thinking like, this could just blow my whole ministry here. They got cameras on me. I'm buying Mucinex, you know, and they'll never believe that I just have congestion. You know? Yeah. And I'm sweating it. And of course, you know me, I'm talking out loud. Are you serious? You know, I feel like I'm breaking a law here. I said, can I use your name? I said, is this real? Can I take a picture of it? Like John would do. And then I had to sign it. I had to sign that I read the statement and that I would go to jail if I misuse my Mucinex, the congestion medicine. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was done, but after that I had to pay for it. And I felt so like, I gotta watch this stuff. I gotta go buy me a safe or something, you know what I'm saying? And put this stuff in a safe. I mean, what if somebody breaks into my house and takes it and they go like, you had this drug in your house? And it's like, and I said, what in the world does somebody do with sinus medicine? At my age, it just makes me irritable when I take it. You know? What would you do? And he said, they make crystal meth with it.
Oh, wow.
They make crystal meth with antihistamines and stuff that's in that particular medication. I'm thinking, my God.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Get a job. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing?
You up,
and besides,
man.
One pack of it costs $25. I mean, I can imagine how much this crystal meth costs. I'm like, maybe it's cheaper.
Wow.
I walked out of there thinking like, my goodness, I just felt like I came from a police state. I felt like I just came from a police state. But America is changing as we know it. So I just want to encourage you, when you do go to get some medication like sinus meds, be prepared to sign your life away. And yes, you can be arrested for it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me in the last part of the extra hour here is Pat, and we're talking about, hey, we're kind of understanding how organizing works, and I'm sensing in my spirit, I'm just going to tell you what I'm sensing in my spirit, that not only is America possibly been organized already, but being organized, but the world's being organized, and understand this, that we're going to see as we progress through this, that when we organize in the context of the law in America, for example, under the Constitution, because the First Amendment says that you have a right to petition your government and you can gather and you can organize and do all that kind of stuff. It's great. It's called clubs or whatever, you know, and you can march and it's wonderful. That's what the Republic is about. And, but when we actually organize to go against the Constitution, which is the laws that we live by, our founding documents, and go against God, that's called rebellion. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, we've got to ask the question, is things being organized for righteous reasons, or is it being organized for dark reasons?
Right.
And we're going to unfold that, because we're seeing the Prince of Gog and Magog, President Vladimir Putin, the president of Gog and Magog, Russia, right. We're seeing these things fulfilled, and we're seeing the embrace of anti-Jesus Christ religions, and we're seeing things shifted and organized, and how does a movement begin? It's what you're really seeing. This may help you out. So when you start looking at things, realize in the context of what's going on right here, because you're thinking, we're being pushed to the utter ruin. We're being pushed to the brink here. But what Marshall Gans is being interviewed by Bill Moyers talking about in social movements, he's going to talk about Sal Alinsky's model of how it works. And remember, I'm not saying that this is how things are going. I'm not saying how things are going. I'm just saying that this was the person working on his campaign. This is the person he worked with. Mm-hmm. All three of us were community organizers. You know, we didn't work together in the context of that. But I kind of got some sort of drift of what's going on here. And he's going to explain, because I'm going to talk this in detail about Sal Alinsky's rules for radicals probably more tomorrow as we begin the conversation today. But so you're going to hear now the context of that, because this is what Marshall Gantz is saying to Bill Moyer on his PBS show, which you can see in its entirety at pbs.org, or you can go to the VFN Torch, go to vfntv.com, click on the Torch, and you can hear this interview. Listen up. He says, talk about here about movements, you know, social movements in regards to, you know, what movement building, how they're built. Okay.
Marketing proposition. Movement building is, you know, that you don't have a majority. What you got to do is build enough of a constituency that you can develop the power you need in order to achieve what you want. And so what you're doing is engaging people who engage other people who engage other people, and you build a movement that way.
Looking back on your life,
you think about it in the context of that. So he says, is when you don't have the power and you don't have the amount of people that, I don't know, the popular, in other words, there's more people that are not for what you want mm-hmm. than against it, then you begin to build a social movement. You begin to build a movement. Now, listen, there was people for, there's actually more people not for slavery, but they were silent, which was evil. It was evil. Silence in the face of evil is evil.
Right.
But in regards to people that were for it, you know, and being silent really is kind of for it, but just in the context of this argument, understanding the people that were like, hey, I am for this thing, and they really thought that way, that they were fewer than the people who were okay for it never to be again.
Right.
But they were silent. And so a righteous movement was established by the civil rights leaders, you know, the Bill of Civil Rights for Everybody, and led by Dr. King, also led by Marshall Gantz here, and began to have a righteous movement about, you know, equal rights for everybody, justice for everybody. Civil rights belong to everybody in the context of that. But so because they needed to be able to understand that the powers to be were not for what was just and what was right. And so they organized. And the First Amendment says you can do that. And they did it well. And Dr. King did it in the context of, within the context of not only the Constitution, but he did it under the context of God. I mean, he did it so well. I mean, you can read his 10 expectations to be able to walk with him. The 10 mm-hmm. commitments you had to, was basically you had to know Jesus, walk with Jesus, and act like Jesus. And, but we're being organized right here. So then that could be a good thing, but also could be like, hey, you know, there's only 5 rebellious people here, but they're organizing on us. You know, it's okay, now that concept of developing a social movement is not good, because that's just people trying to come against the laws of the land, come against the Constitution, come against God. And so that would be considered rebellion, mm-hmm. because rebellion is resistance to any control or any authority. Now, if you are operating within your constitutional rights and in within the Constitution, and you're marching and protesting an unjust law and something that's not just because it's about justice for all in America, then, you know, you're not rebelling. You're just expressing yourself. But if you're wanting to take down the Constitution, you know, you want to kick open the walls on the building, you want to take out the whole fish tank here where the fish spill everywhere, that would be rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that, and because, and this is why it would be that way, because in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. So in regards to when, if the majority of the people say this is how it should be and this is how it is voted to be, then that's the government of America. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. But when the majority is put aside for the minority aspect of a few people are wanting to take God down, a few people are wanting to take the Ten Commandments down, a few people are wanting God's name off of this, a few people are wanting prayer out of school, And so these are actually rebellious movements coming against the authority of the people of America. Mm-hmm. It's not rebelling against folks in D.C. because those are representatives that we sent there. It's you. You're, right. It's what the majority said. And so often the enemies just remove that argument from you and put it in Washington, D.C. You got 530 people getting blamed for everything in Washington, D.C. And it's 300-something million. Don't realize it's the government. It's your government.
Right. We put them there.
What do you and you put in, but it's this is happening to you. So if there's 10, if there's a 300 million people that don't want something to happen, but, you know, a million people do, then if that million organizes and starts to do what he's talking about, you know, stir that thing up. And we're going to talk about, you know, we're not going to get time for probably to cover the Zelensky rules for radicals, but you can catch it tomorrow. And then that is actually trying to get the majority to rebel against the majority and saying, listen, we want to push our agenda, even though 99% of America doesn't want that. They don't feel like it's the right way to be able to do that, which we don't, if we're not wise to that, if we're not wise to that, then we end up just allowing a few folks that are against God and against the Constitution to remove God from everything and to remove the Constitution from its place. If you remove the Constitution, that's what we're made up of. When you talk about civil rights, that's a bill of civil rights.
Right.
That's where that comes from. It's the amendments to the Constitution for everybody, which means we all have equal rights in the context of that. So what we're seeing stirred up here, and maybe we'll get a chance, and we'll do it again. But I want you to be able to pull up organizers, how they polarize, and this is going to really make sense because you're seeing everybody polarize. Go ahead and listen to Marshall Gantz here in regards to speaking to Bill Moyer about how organizing works. And you have to polarize people. You have to turn them against each other. You have to get definite dividing lines between the two, and then you got to turn them on each other and realize that's happening in Syria, it's happening in Israel, it's happening in the Middle East, it's happening in America, it's happening with Christians, it's happening between Islam. I mean, this guy, it appears to be doing effective job of organizing the earth right now using these kind of techniques. Listen up to what Marshall talks about, the Bill Moyer, about what organizers do from Zelensky.
Those of us who wanted to do more about economic justice and immigration and climate change needed to do more. We had to be contentious. That's how it works. It's like this idea that contentiousness is somehow alien to democracy, and that consensus is somehow what democracy is about, and that polarization is bad. Paralysis is bad. But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And, yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that right now.
Oh, yeah, it's always been struggle and conflict and winners and losers that move us forward or backward.
That's the heart of democracy is a system of contention. I mean, of constructive contention.
And that's so important, constructive contention. But he's quoting Saul Alinsky. And tomorrow, you got to catch us on VFN Radio because we're going to break this down. What does that mean? Because these are the techniques that one of the people that worked with our president as a community organizer and organizing folks. And these techniques are being used today. And listen, these are great techniques if they're in the context of constructive, in the context of the law. But we're looking at the polarization of everything, polarization of marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden it's like everybody's divided on marriage. Everybody's divided on healthcare. Everybody's divided on the Constitution.
Everything.
Everybody's divided on religion. And what's happening is they're polarizing. This is the Saul Alinsky model. And as Christians, you know, whatever the world does, fine. But as Christians, we have to respond to this in a way that Jesus responded to this. Stay tuned tomorrow on VFN Radio, where we're going to be talking about this. And don't forget, you can catch us on WHBR TV. Go to WHBR.org to find out broadcast times in your locations in your area. It is 2 p.m. Central Time. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.